I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Great. Well, let's talk a final sort of segment to talk about there. I think, Brad, you've given, by the way, some massive information there. When you said any tips for selling, now sometimes people say, yeah, you know, make sure you use all the video possibilities, make sure you use all 9 photos. But you've just given us a step-by-step absolute launch strategy. So that's amazing. Thank you for that. Now, bigger picture then, what are your big picture things that you're looking out for in 2017 that are going to be changing or have already changed from the previous year or two?
Yeah, so I could answer this in a couple different ways. So I think, so the last couple of years, so when I was at Amazon, hopefully I don't go too long here, but when I was at Amazon, my very first day I started, the guy next to me, his name was Tor, and he's awesome guy. I was like, hey, what are you working on? He said, I'm working on the GSID program. I was like, what in the world is a GSID program? He said, it's a global catalog identification system. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And he said, that means that people can have brands and actually put their own brand on Amazon and have these account numbers linked to their brand. Now, I reference that because in my mind, that was the start of this full brand revolution that's happened over the last 3 years. And people have discovered that private label on Amazon is much better than competing on the buy box. So instead of having 20 people on the buy box competing on price and using the pricing algorithms, which still some sellers do and do successfully. But a big mass has moved to the private label because now you own the complete listing of the ASIN. So you get all the sales on it, unless someone comes in and messes with it. So I think this year, Amazon has been figuring out, and with all the fraud stuff going on, I think, you know, this is probably the same as from what many people have think. Is that brand protection and brand control is kind of a big thing that's coming from inside of Amazon this year, and to get more brand control and brand protection. Cause you know, the original program was built for Sony, someone like Sony, where it said, hey, we have all these cameras that we're selling and there's all these fraud sellers that are selling on the Sony brand. So how do we differentiate between the two? And so they built that when they realized, hey, we could just extend it out to a lot of people, and the program's tremendous success. Right. And so these branded sellers, Amazon's getting more and more into the idea of brand gating and brand control. You've seen the new brand content for the detail pages for people. I think this is the beginning of a program that's going to be successful, that sellers love. And so Amazon's going to get that feedback and continue to develop kind of this brand idea and more and more and more stuff around your brand on Amazon. And it also helps consumer trust, right? As people are learning and building these brands, they're getting more and more consumer trust.
Yeah, and when it comes to consumer trust, I was reading the other day, and whenever something hits mainstream media, you know that it's really something that the company has to react to as a public relations thing, apart from anything else. So they have to do something and be seen to do something. And that's generally when they overreact sometimes. But I read a Forbes article the other day that was saying that quite a big percentage of people buying on Amazon.com this Christmas or last Christmas is gone 2016 had experienced fraud, and there were various Chinese sellers who didn't make clear that they were fulfilling product from China. So it took about 3 weeks to get stuff delivered. Some stuff was just not authentic brand. Some stuff just never got delivered at all. So Amazon has a big public relations battle to fight now, I think. So the consumer trust thing, I perceive as one of their big drivers. I mean, what's your take on that?
For sure. No, that's one of the number one things, is that's their big differentiator between them and eBay. And it has been for so long, at least the marketplace, is, hey, eBay feels a little bit more like the Wild West. Now, they've done some really cool things to do a little less of that. But that was the more general stigma. Now, and Amazon was coming from the idea of, look, we're going to control, and these are going to be really high quality brands that are coming on. We don't have to be the vendor, but they can just sell themselves on Amazon. And so the idea of consumer trust is one of the top, if not the top thing that Bezos is going to be thinking about. And so when you see, as an example of my experience inside Amazon, when a big article like that comes out, or, you know, some of the stuff that came out like even 6 months ago or 7 months ago, you know, all the top heads are going to get together and they're going to say, okay, we're going to stop whatever plan we just had for this program. And if they hadn't already planned it, and we're going to instigate this new program to solve this big fraud problem. And I think from what I've been hearing, I think it's the idea of these brand and brand gating and brand control is a big step to stop the fraud problem. Now, from the Chinese seller side, now there's some really good Chinese sellers out there, and but then there's a bunch that are not, and they're just trying to make a quick buck, and so Amazon doesn't want to cut off all of China because it's so amazing. There's some just really amazing sellers over there and doing some really amazing stuff. So they're trying to wrestle with this idea of how do we allow them as well as sellers just around the whole globe sell on Amazon. And I think this brand is a big idea. The brand control is a big thing around all of this.
Makes a hell of a lot of sense. Yeah. Now you were going to mention, you said that there were two answers to the question of where Amazon's going. So what was your second sort of set of thoughts?
My second one is, I don't think it's about where Amazon's going. I think it's about where the mindset of the brand owners needs to be going in. And so you have all of these sellers like, you got P&G and Unilever and Bayer and all these big companies, right, who understand brand management really well. They've been doing it for 100 years or 50 years or however long. Now you have these new sellers that have been, enabled and who are powerful and really effective at what they're doing at building their brand. And so the idea for the last couple of years is people kind of built this certain degree of their brand, gotten up and going. But for a lot of these, the really good sellers out there, the question is, okay, where do I go next? And how do I enhance this and become even a stronger and a better brand? And I think over the next 2 or 3 years or more, we're going to see a little more, I guess the idea is maybe the word sophistication in the brands themselves of what the brand is, who it identifies with, who's your target audience, who is your segment that you should be going after, and how does your branding affect that segment, and get more sophisticated and sharp in your messaging instead of saying, hey, look, we just launched a new pen that has our brand name on it, so you should buy from us instead of the other guy.
Right. So it's an evolution from straight up private label. So this one happens to say Uniball on it, but I'm sure that I could probably buy this exact design, probably ripped off somebody else's IP in China, which is a whole other discussion I want to have today, and just put Mike Veazey's pens on it and sell it. But that's pure private label, isn't it? So, I mean, what you're talking about is genuine brand creation in the proper sense of somebody says pen and they think, oh, yeah, Mike Veazey's pens, they're really expensive. Like Mont Blanc is a pen brand, for example, and you're going to go and buy it for somebody, and it's showing them that you spent some serious money on them. It's a thing of beauty. It's rare. It's got expensive adverts in glossy magazines. It has associations with it. In other words, not just a name.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even not maybe expensive advertising, maybe not, but it's a brand that understands who its target audience is. And I've seen some sellers starting to do this. This is why I'm thinking this. I'm seeing this kind of happening is some sellers just getting really more sophisticated in who their brand is and becoming growing up their brand a little bit more, from childhood to kind of adolescence and then, beyond. And there's some that are doing a really good job with their branding and figuring out who their target audience is and going after that. So I think that's kind of a bigger macro trend, even taking a higher step up.
Again, that ties in with the whole consumer trust and where Amazon's wanting to go. So again, if we align ourselves with Amazon and Amazon's concerns, then I guess we're going to be on the same side as them and less likely to have problems with them. Now, I was going to ask you one final issue, which you raised in the fact that you mentioned all the Chinese sellers, and obviously Amazon is courting them and trying to create a link to them, even to the extent that they have offices over there in China that I've spoken to friends who've been to see them with thousands of people in and all sorts of stuff. How can we in America or the UK or wherever else, people are listening from, I know there's a certain percentage in Australia and India and Germany, how can we compete with the Chinese sort of sellers trying to get direct on Amazon?
So there's a couple of, that pretty loaded question there. I would break it down and say, well, what do you mean compete with the Chinese seller? Because the question is, what are they good at that someone in the UK may not be good at? There's manufacturing plants there, and there's some really good competitive costs in those manufacturing plants. Now, there's actually other manufacturing plants around the world that actually have even better competitive costs And it's probably a little bit harder to reach because you can't just go to Alibaba and look them up. But sometimes they are actually on Alibaba. So it's that part of the supply chain. The bigger question in my mind is, hey, if the manufacturer can cut out all the middlemen and hit the direct consumer, where does that leave some of these middlemen who are creating these brands? And that's kind of what the majority of sellers are, right? Guess what? Sometimes these manufacturers don't have that acumen. They don't understand how to be that middleman, because the middleman doesn't have no value. The middleman has a lot of value in what they're presenting. So they're developing the idea of brands. They're doing the research on which products are going to be big and hot. I've seen, you know, some Chinese manufacturers just put everything up there. It's like, guess what? Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it, and doesn't mean anyone wants it. So there's that idea of all these people who are going after and finding out what should be put on Amazon or sold to people that people actually want. And that's an acumen in and of itself, and that has a lot of value to it. And so from that side, remember your value. Don't just, you know, discard saying, hey, these guys can build stuff for cheap and send it over. Now the idea of copying is, and counterfeit is, a worry, because you do the work and figure out what people want, and someone else tries to counterfeit and copy it. I know there's a lot more legal regulations going on. When I was in Hong Kong doing a speaking engagement just several months ago, talked to several attorneys and lawyers there and found out, guess what? You can actually set some really good rules and regulations around your products with your manufacturer, so they can't go and scrape off and copy and sell to somebody else your brand. And you can work within the Chinese system and shut down other manufacturers that might be copying what you're doing. So that's actually becoming a bigger thing over there, because there are some Chinese people who develop, or some Chinese manufacturers and brands are developing some good stuff. So they want to protect themselves as well. So they've developed these systems a little bit better as well. So just remember, in my mind, remember where your value is and where their value is, and don't think the whole supply chain is just going to get squished overnight. And think about what you can do and how your brand can grow and gain consumer trust. I mean, how often is a Chinese manufacturer gathering emails or sending emails to their consumers and gathering us positive consumer engagement and trust? I mean, that's a very kind of Western world thinking thing of let's all be friends and be a community to get together, and we want to provide a service for the consumer, and the consumer is always king. That whole mentality is something that a lot of manufacturers may not have over there. Now, this is all speaking in generalities. I know there's some good Chinese sellers who do that as well, but in general, I think that's one of the big strengths of some of the other sellers.
Excellent. Well, yeah, to be fair to you as well, I know you're a very conscientious man with your data. I get that sense very strongly already, which is unsurprising given your background. But if I'm asking you for big picture, then you're going to have to generalize. So you can blame me for the inaccuracies in that statement. But that's I love the way you're thinking, actually. You're both seeing what the manufacturers bring as value, but also what we bring to bear. And again, it seems to be the whole conversation is coming back to brand and more brand and customer centricness and understanding the customers. And I love the idea that just because you've got everything to sell doesn't mean you should try and sell everything. And it's certainly true that you see buried on page 15. Sometimes I've gone to the same manufacturer and got my product private labeled, and I've been concerned because they're already selling on Amazon. And I had a look, and they are literally on page 15 for the main keyword. I think they don't quite get how to run Amazon yet. So we still have a value to bring to bear. And that's a very reassuring note on which to wrap things up. So just remains for me to say many, many thanks, Brad. It's been really thought-provoking and very many actionable things, which I always love when it's not just a good conversation, but it's actually I can go away and do stuff. For starters, I'm going to be looking seriously at creating video. That's a very concrete thing we can get on with. And also, building out a brand. And I go back to, using some of the skills I've learned on the podcast to take back to my Amazon business, really, and, building communities above all. So, Brad, how do people get hold of you if they want to, get more of your thoughts for free or to come and work with you guys on some way?
Yeah, my email is pretty simple. It's brad@productlabs.net. And or you can go to our website, productlabs.net, and go to a submission contact us form. We get all of those. So yeah, that's the easiest way of contacting me.
Great. And if people want to use your video services, amzproductvideo.com.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly. Good. Okay. Well, Brad, it's been real. Love to have you back on in a few months if we can, to sort of see what the state of the nation is at that point, or the state of the Amazon nation, as it were.
We'll have some good surprises in a few months that we're working on still.
So. Excellent. That sounds even more exciting. Well, we're definitely going to have to have you back on then. So, but for the time being, got to say a very big thank you to Brad Moss.
Cool. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode. Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated, because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening, because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple: to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups, so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness, and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire, and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind, where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks, and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses, and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well, so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway, but for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find. Thanks for listening.